Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Universal Narratives podcast. As we continue to explore the theme of educational reform and development, it's truly my pleasure to speak with Ayman Shahata today to learn about the work that he does in Egypt. I got to know Ayman back in 2012 when I was working on my dissertation on youth civic engagement in Egypt after the January 2011 revolution. The work that he was doing at that time with young Egyptians was really inspiring, and I really learned so much from this experience. Ayman is a mentor to many and is a part of an amazing network of educators and change makers. It is truly an honor to have him with us today. Welcome to our podcast, Ayman.
Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome, Salma, and thank you for this introduction.
No problem. Okay, so Ayman, before we start, I would like you to introduce yourself and your background and the work that you do to us.
Okay. I have a socioeconomic research background. I started actually from a macroeconomic background, looking for economic growth and how nations progress, and then moved from this macro perspectives into socioeconomic perspectives, where we integrated more the societal linkages and determined factors that would lead to real change in society, back and forth, how society can contribute to progress and how progress should be evaluated as by how much it was able to touch on the societies. Okay. And how it is integral within societies, how it is derived from societal fabric, how it is inspired by the society, and how it gives back to society. So more societal integration. And then I added another layer later on about the individual and how in their journey to discover themselves, they become the change agents, and through building networks and social capital, they can then bring change. So it all starts from the self within a community. And it all starts with restoring hope and agency. So you cannot, as they say, you can take the horse to the river, but you cannot make them drink. Mm-hmm. So you cannot make development to people who think, who, as Freire was saying, that the hardest thing that affect nations, the single element that hits the nations most is apathy. So apathy is when someone feels that he or she is helpless,
yes,
and he or she doesn't care. And he or she won't be able to make any difference in life. So their life is just a bridge to fulfill their own immediate needs, but there is no hope, no future, no agency, no self-esteem or no self-efficacy that I can be of a difference.
Yes.
And this what makes life at the end is how much you are able to do something meaningful. So by this, we live and woke up in the morning and have dreams of doing something meaningful. This is what make our life, that what makes our life has different kind of quality of being of value in life. So this is all about how you can create change within people. This is the paradigm shift. And then you add the different element of change factors and societal mobilization and economic growth and consensus building and public policy and. But this, if not built on a solid ground of humane agency, and this any kind of move, then it is not deeply rooted. It is very much not organic from the society.
Okay, so I totally agree with all what you said because, as a person who myself was educated in Arab countries, mainly Saudi Arabia and Egypt, I always felt like I was taught so much about civilizations, for example, and how these nations were, but I was never told what my role is and how I can restore these victories and this kind of civilization in the future. And it kind of like, I actually think about this a lot. A lot of people that I grew up with felt helpless, and it's very difficult for them to see the role in the future and how they can develop their communities. But then it takes so much time for you to teach yourself certain skills to be able to see your value and your self-worth and what you can give back to the communities that you belong to. So, Ayman, do you want to tell me a little bit about the origin for this? Why does this happen? What kind of, I would say, gaps or problems or issues in our education system that cause this kind of learned helplessness for a lot of youth?
I can give it a try.
Just your opinion. It's okay.
I'll give it a try. Uh-huh. So I think is we are not putting education on the right track for our life purpose. We get educated for things very pragmatic, like to learn and go to the market and then be able to find a job and okay. then be able to create income. And then now we are having a living. And this is really important, but this is one element of life. This is the fuel to the engine. Mm-hmm. But now what about the engine? What about the direction? What about the end in mind? What about where this vehicle is going and where is the North Star? And for what reason are we giving fuel to this car? To reach where? To help us to reach where? Or to hit other people and create harm? So all of the education system is just one component of life. So life is not, education is not connected to the real purpose of life. And that's why it has this kind of shortcomings. It is disconnected from purpose. So we don't know what we are learning for. We know that our learning is just for us to create, to make a living. And this is the medium term. This is the fuel. This is the running cost for something bigger. But we never put our minds and our life and our conscious and our attention to what is that you are learning for. What is that we are living for? So these questions are the main questions of the human being, is what I'm living for. That why I'm living and what is my purpose and how is my life is taking me to this destination and how can I make sure that I'm moving on the right direction? What are the KPIs? What are the milestones? Where is the North Star? Where is the end in mind? And how can I build capabilities all the way along to make sure that I'm growing in the right direction, not just reaching the right direction, but I'm growing on the right direction. So I need to grow every day. So I need to learn every day something new to enhance myself and to enhance my value back to society and to find more meanings that I can live through.
Mm-hmm. I this kind of like makes me think about how, and it's something that I always think about as well, that how the education system, and I don't think it's an Egypt thing, I think it's everywhere, especially in I would say other nations as well, it's very individualistic. there is this gap, individualistic in a materialistic manner. So there is always, as you said, you're preparing more like you like factory workers. I don't like to say that because our students are more dignified and they have a lot of you know, potential, and factory workers also have a lot of potential. But just the fact that we are preparing students to just be in the market and produce for the society so that we can make more money as individuals and as a society, as opposed to realizing your potential as an individual and thinking about the community. I think this idea of thinking about the community is lacking, that you are part of a whole, and your role in this community is very, very important. And I feel like it's lacking a lot in our educational system. And I think it kind of goes with what you just said about just thinking about myself and not my contribution and how I can make this society and this community a better place. So given all what we discussed, can you tell us a little bit more about maybe the different projects that you're working on right now? I know, for example, I experienced working with you in NEMA, which was an organization that focused on helping youth discover themselves and grow as individuals, and in return, start working on different initiatives to develop their local communities. What other projects are you working on right now? And how is that helping youth in Egypt change their mindset, which is, you know, what we're aiming to do, and think about the society as a whole instead of only themselves as individuals?
I cannot say that my contribution is changing how youth are doing, but when things are so tough, you need to find something, you need to find a crack to play in. And it is not necessary that we would reach our aspiration tomorrow or after, but it is necessary that we live in a pursuit, the right pursuit to reach this destination, even if we didn't reach it. So life is not just a journey.
It's about trying.
You need to find a meaningful destination, and then living a journey of reaching this destination. So we are trying to work with youth to create this kind of mindset that is not trying to make them consider contributing to the society. It is the other way around. It is trying to see, Mother Teresa quoted that the fruit of love is hope, and the fruit of hope is service, and the fruit of service is love. So it is circular, and it is growing, iterative and growing. So it is creating this kind of love to the self and to the society, and to find a way to myself to grow through having meaningful contribution. So it is not just considering the society, it is considering living for a cause, and through this living, I grow, and I have a meaning, and I have a purpose, so I have a life, I have a meaningful life. So that's why community leadership programs, where we help people to do something in the society, is a way of discovering themselves, a way of finding meaning of what they do, a way of finding value of themselves, a way of getting in the morning and finding that they have something to give back. So they are valued for what they can contribute. Then they have meaning. Mm-hmm. So it is for us to gain, not for us to give. It is mainly for us to gain more, to gain meaning, to gain value, to give something that we can contribute with through giving, through love, through hope.
Okay, so what you're saying is that you're helping youth realize through what is their cause and what's their purpose, And through doing that, they realize their own potential and power as individuals. And this kind of mindset change, that I know that I have a purpose in life, I'm working towards this goal, it's a journey. Reaching is not my goal. My goal is to grow throughout this journey. You want to develop this mindset. And in return, eventually, when youth have this kind of mindset, then they will be motivated to contribute to the community. So it's just learning from the community to develop as an individual. And then eventually, after you reach that mindset and that understanding, you're going to give back.
Yes. So and helping communities is something, is a target. We might reach it. We might reach a better society. That would be nice. But even if we didn't reach that, if we lived for that, then we're having a meaningful life. So life is not confined to reaching goals and not confined that we success in revolution or success in our pursuits. It is living for a legitimate pursuit, for a legitimate goal, and having this pursuit. So because لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى. So it is not what you have reached, but you need to have a legitimate goal, but it is what your pursuit towards this goal that you will be rewarded for.
That's such an amazing way of looking at things. I always say that as long as you're striving and as long as you're trying, you're doing your part. If you reach or not reach, you can't control that. But your intention is that you are going on that journey and you're trying to grow as a person, as an individual. Great. So, yes, great. So do you want to tell us a little bit more details about what you're working on right now and what kind of program you're working on right now? Okay.
Sure. So I have been working with NAMA for around 10 years. And then moved to other projects. Along with them, I was working with a group called AFAQ. AFAQ, which is Perspectives. AFAQ was working on more academically on finding how our education would be purpose-driven to a destination that we live for. And how can this be translated into educators' training. So we have done with that, and they continued into trying to manifest this into a school where they practice this. And then for some economical reasons, it is and maybe also for some political reasons, it is, or not political, but socio-political reasons, it is not running now. I have done through moving, changing the game a little bit, and moving from civil society and youth into the private sector. So when I entered the private sector at the beginning, I was going, my plans were to go and try to find resources from the private sector to feed into the social society, the social domain and the civil society domain. So I was just moving there to find the resources. But then I found out that something very, very eye-opening. The private sector or the company is a place where people spend most of their lives. Mm-hmm. And it is a huge room for education and for self-actualization. But it is not tapped on as much as we do in the school. So I have a lot of emphasis about school education. But when I moved into the private sector, I found people, beautiful people and beautiful minds, they are far from what we are talking about and about purpose, about, but deep inside, they have all the good intentions in life, or deep inside, they want to have something meaningful. So, and they have a lot of caliber and a lot of potential. So I started to shift a little bit into developing a model of self-actualization, of transcendence, of helping people to be more purpose. And I also found out something very amazing within the private sector, that there's something emerging in the market called purpose-driven strategies.
Okay.
So due to what's happening with the millennials, where they start to go into a company after their graduation for one main reason, mm-hmm. which is the paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And they stay like this for how long? They stay like this for 1.5 years, mm-hmm. 18 months. And then start to ask, what's the benefit of what you are doing? So they start to question. And when they don't find answer, they leave. So big companies all over the world started to find that this costs a lot of money, that new hires, there's high turnover, and there is added cost for new hiring, new training, and then the cycle is going on. So they started to invest on what's called purpose-driven strategies, which is how companies would align their strategy with a purpose. For the company, it means if the company is, for the employees, if the company has a purpose and they believe in, this means a meaningful work, okay? For the company, it's not the same. For the company, it means an engaged employee, more productive, and more revenues, mm-hmm. and then higher bottom line. So nevertheless, this increase appetite for purpose because of the current business as usual, Yasalma, is not fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
The current business as usual is not fulfilling human beings. So they start to ask why we're doing what we're doing. And they start to wander around and start to leave and move. So I sort of tapped on this movement and started to develop a program called Leading with Purpose, where I help employees and people within organizations, private and not private, to lead a more balanced and meaningful life and impactful business. So it works on one pillar about themselves, about how to have more balance in life, how to start to consider what I'm living for and widen the scope. And from that, I find out what is more meaningful life. So how to lead a more balanced and meaningful life, and then how this can be reflected on their productivity, on their impact, on their business. So how to have more successful business out of having a meaningful life and a purposeful business. So there is touch base with plenty of things, like books like Reinventing Organization, books like TDU of Otto Scharmer. So there is a lot of literature about business not as usual, and that business as usual is not fulfilling. So I started to tap on different things like that, along with a lot of our own literature, our own heritage of living a meaningful life. Mm-hmm. And I started to create something out of all of this, a module for this Leading with Purpose program, where it work on the individual and on the organization culture, and then on the organization strategy, and then on the organization itself as part of a society, and then as societal, more on the social capital and societal consensus on determining what is progress, and there is also a lot of touch bases with well-being, subjective well-being as a target and happiness as a target. So this is also aligned that people also globally, there are rising trends of finding alternatives or complementary indicators to GDP and economic growth, like well-being and subjective happiness. And New Zealand is doing something very pioneering in trying to make a budget based on well-being factors.
Okay.
So moving from the individual to the organization culture, to the organization strategy, to the society, to the economy, So I try to bring all what I have learned through. So every time in my life, I start to find that the journey needs something complementary to connect the dots. So what I'm trying is connecting the dots, but all the time putting human being at the heart and making my aspiration is to shift gears and start to move and work from a different point of aspiration. So my second project was leading with purpose for companies and for organizations. Mm-hmm. And my final project is back into schools and developing a program for students, underprivileged, in a scholarship, trying to build a school for mentors to help the mentees through leading through a character building and citizenship education program. We're trying to build community leaders out of these students so that they start to, one, find way of growth through helping society, two, finding something valuable that they can give back to society so they are no longer feeling underprivileged, but they feel that they have something to give back. And then moving from that into developing a more meaningful life and finding out why they are living and asking more questions and problematize their reality to discover that education and having a living is something good, but it is not enough.
I love that. I love especially, like, I love how you have like different, I would say, target audiences for each of the projects. And especially for the last one, I just want to clarify that it's for underprivileged youth in Egypt. So it means that youth are coming from underprivileged or low socioeconomic backgrounds. And usually youth who come from these backgrounds do not have the same kind of exposure and not the same kind of learning experiences that kids who come from different types of socioeconomic backgrounds, which is, you know, the differences between socioeconomic backgrounds in Egypt are very, very big, and you can see the differences immediately. So this program that Ayman was just discussing, it aims to reinstill hope and reinstill self-worth and self-value so that when youth go to universities, you know, because universities are offering them scholarships, they feel empowered to, as individuals, they see their roles and they feel as an integral part of their societies. They don't feel marginalized or underprivileged anymore. And I love this kind of work. I know there is a lot of people who are doing work with underprivileged youth and youth from socioeconomic backgrounds and low socioeconomic backgrounds and areas such as slums and areas outside of the major cities. And usually youth who come from these parts are super smart, super brilliant. They just need self-confidence and they need to also see their self-worth and self-value. And that's why I really appreciate this kind of work. Ayman, what motivates you to do all this kind of work? What's your motivation?
I need to add two things before trying to find an answer for this tricky okay. questions. But for students, the dream for me, for the students, is to ultimately find purpose for their education beyond living and into something meaningful. So I try to make the connection between education and life, between education and purpose. So with this, it will become inquiry-based, it will become purpose-driven, and accordingly, education would be meaningful and would have different impact, and life would be much better. So this is what my aspiration for the education and how this program can help through the mentoring process. The other thing which I'm proud of as well is that education in the private sector, within the companies, within the corporate, is undervalued. There is no much emphasis is giving to educating people at this. There are plenty of training for skills, but there is no education for them, for self-actualization, for their life, and how they can find grow and their lifelong learning in this process. So I'm so proud also for Leading with Purpose program, because it tackles this issue of private sector, invading the private sector, invading people and trying to make them transform them. Yeah. And through this, maybe instead of cracking the business as usual, is attracting more people to think purposefully, and they would lead much impactful business. So working with social entrepreneur, working with big companies to develop a purpose-driven strategy is something also I'm proud of, and I'm sharing with you to give emphasis on that we need to tackle the private sector from an education perspective rather than from just a business training perspective.
Totally agree. I think this is such a pioneering experience, as you said, because usually, as you said, private sector is so business oriented, and tackling it from an educational mindset and from a purpose driven mindset is a very unique approach. It helps individuals find the purpose of what they're doing, and it becomes more fulfilling and more meaningful for them as individuals as well.
Yes, so we are helping them, and we are cracking the private sector.
That's great.
But we are helping the people. What motivates me is to do something meaningful. I don't have much. I can remember that when I was undergrad, I was studying economics. I was so much obsessed with economic growth and progress. Before that, I wanted to go to the medical school so that I can help relieve suffering from people. So I moved to economics, and I started to work with macroeconomics, and then moving into social, and then moving into individual. And then coming back to realize that the journey in life doesn't have to be glorious in terms of the conquering the world to reach your targets. It can be so simple, but so kind that it impacts the lives of others. So impacting others' life is something sincere, and something doesn't need you to have huge power to conquer the world. And nevertheless, it can make you happy by making others happy. So it all boils down to intentions, sincerity, authenticity, kindness, love, that can create hope. And through this hope, you can do few things in your life to feel that you have a meaningful life. And this would create more love and serenity in your life. Maybe this is my motive.
I love that. I actually was influenced by so many people in my life that did not have a glamorous life. They had a very simple lifestyle. No big titles, no big names, but they were so sincere that you learn so much by just watching them and being around them, what the essence of life is all about. And I totally agree with you. It can be such a subtle impact, but it can change a person's life forever. It doesn't have to be something super big or super glamorous. But at the end of the day, you as an individual have to realize that you're capable of making that impact. And the impact can be small. It can be only changing a small circle of people, or changing how people think or see things, or value certain things, or appreciate certain things in life. And this is what matters at the end of the day.
Yes, one more thing. Huh. What we are saying is not about not having big goals. We will still have big goals, but we know that realization of meaningful life doesn't necessarily happen only when we reach these goals. And it can boil down to something very small, but very sincere. So that is what you are talking about. This by itself creates hope. And I'm sorry to tell that we are in time that people suffering with hope, they find that whatever they will do, it will not make a difference. And what they mean by difference is making life more fair and making it more more liberating for people and eradicating poverty and all these great goals that we need to live for, to pursue, to for these goals to happen. Having these big goals is something good, but hope is not reaching these distinctions, but hope is living for such noble distinctions. So this is very small difference that make people very much offended when they can't reach, that make people offended by global power, by mainstream that they cannot confront. So I'm not saying to get aside and don't give a damn to life. I'm saying put big goals and try to create baby steps, but accumulative steps. And this is the difference between strategic action and non-strategic action. Strategic action is doing small steps to a great end in mind and make every step accumulative and aligned with this milestone of end in mind. So they are small, but aligned to a target. So even though they are small, you can see that they are reaching somewhere someday.
Yes.
So don't work for things to happen tomorrow, but work for things to happen ultimately and never give up. That's the message I want to live for.
Great. I love that so much, Ayman. Oh, that's great. So Ayman, let's think about what you're doing and the impact of what you're doing. What do you think is working and what do you think still needs work? Just like an evaluation, put your evaluation glasses on and look at what you're doing. What do you think is working, the positive impact? And what do you think you still maybe struggling with because of external factors or maybe because of certain areas that you need to maybe explore as a person who's trying to make change and make a difference? And how are you approaching that as an individual?
A lot of people looking for the, there's something called the zone of influence, which is the zone that you can do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the bigger zones that you cannot influence. So some people finding out that there's no much influence we can do with the big picture. But I'm seeing that the source of this is coming from that we didn't know how to work on ourselves and didn't know how to work collaboratively and then know how to work to create a social capital and then know how to create small communities that can enforce our aspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are asking me, there's big room for us to learn and work below the radar, below getting attacked from anybody, just to learn how to do work with, as Otto Sharma is saying, moving from the ego system to the ecosystem, from being egocentric to being ecocentric, to build communities. So this room has a lot of potential and it is not fulfilled yet. Mm-hmm. And the ego is, if you're asking what's not working, is that we get rid of our egos. We still have our egos and we still think of the big picture in spite of working on us and or our small circles and building communities to reach there. And there are a lot of issues about hope and agency. So these are the issues that I think we have a lot of room to work on. And when it comes a moment that that the way is open for us to do something bigger, if these things aren't built appropriately, you are not going anywhere. So I'm not saying not to look for big, for your the big road ahead, but I'm saying along with going this big road, think of education as a foundation part of educating people for different and higher life purposes and work on that. Maybe then we have a new blood and a new societal approach to create different reality.
Yeah, sounds very good. And I see what you're saying. It's, again, it goes back again to changing the mindset of how we see ourselves as individuals. And
yes. And moving on, ourselves, yeah, our communities, our capabilities to work together to make something different. So we don't know how to work together. So sometimes when I work in neutral domains where there's no pressure and nothing, no problems, people don't collaborate well. They don't have long, we don't have long distance aspiration. We work in the medium term, and then we don't have this kind of strong ownership of what we do so that we make sure we continue until it succeeds. So I think we still have a lot of room to work, to collaborate, still have a lot of agency to have, a lot of presence, resistance, a lot of grit to do things and to work on things. These are the domains that they call the growth mindset that we need to work on and grow with.
So building on that, do you train your mentees and your students on these skills? How to, you know, what is agency versus what is collective agency? What is how it looks like to work collaboratively? Because a lot of people in Egypt are not accustomed to working together, for example, in teams collaboratively. True. A lot True. Of people in Egypt are not trained to, understand change in terms of collective agency True. In a collective manner. So agency can be an individual as an agent of change trying to change things, or it can also be collective. And you know that power is always in numbers. People, when they come together, you know, change is more possible. So do you train people on these things? Do you train people on like teamwork, collaboration, thinking collaboratively? Or how do they gain these skills? Because these are skills.
It has to start from changing the value system. And okay, it has to start from having higher aspiration, and you cannot reach these aspirations without collaboration. Okay. As long as you have a low ceiling, you think that you can do it by yourself, and then you claim ownership of this little room. But if you are having a higher, much higher ceiling, you know that you cannot reach it alone. So then you start to choose to be a small part from a bigger vision rather than being a big part of a small vision. So changing the mindset in this way sometimes help people to work collaboratively to higher ends. Is it successful? I don't know yet.
I know, but you know, as you said, it's always what matters is that we're trying. We're striving, yes, as individuals. Yes. And that's our intention and our goal. And this is what matters at the end of the day. So my last question to you is, what can global educators learn from your experience as somebody who's trying to change things and establish purpose for a lot of young people in Egypt? What can we learn from your experience as global educators? Tricky question, right?
Yeah. Can't think of something right now, except of we share experiences and we learn from each other, from knowing our experiences and from finding out similarities and exchanging our ways of doing things and enforce each other and get supported by each other. So I think that this global narrative and global network would help us feel this kind of solidarity. So I think it is more helpful to us as individuals to work with this global network, is to feel this kind of solidarity and that we are not alone. And this gives a lot of hope and agency and gives a lot of room to grow. So it is mutual, not that they will learn from us or from me, but that we can learn together and grow together. So that's a very good asset if we can ever have.
I think to recap, I think the highlight of our talk today was that learning is a journey, and life is a journey. And
for a meaningful destination.
For a meaningful destination. And it doesn't matter if you reach or not, as long as you have that purpose, and that purpose is motivating you to grow as an individual.
And as long as that you are dedicated to make things happen. So it matters that you are doing your best. So if you are doing your best, it's okay.
Yes. Great, Ayman. Do you want to add anything before we end?
Just thankful for your beautiful way of facilitation and getting things out. So I'm really grateful for this and really looking for doing the other way around and having you as a guest talking about your dissertation.
Sure.
About youth empowerment in Egypt.
Sure, no problem. Thank you so much, Ayman. And I'm hoping that we're going to be talking again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Salma.